Acts chapter 26, verse 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion I lived a Pharisee, and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promises made of God unto our fathers, unto which promises are 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I have really thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but shewed first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple, and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should shew light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this morning, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for the warmer weather, God. And Lord, we thank you as well for Jesus Christ, Father, that died for us. Thank you, Lord, for that gift. And Father, I ask you for your help this morning, God. I can't do this on my own, Lord. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit's power, Lord, and the words to say, God. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to obey your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The world is lost, and it's our responsibility to reach them. The world is lost. The Apostle Paul was given a great commission. As we've read there before, he had a commission from the Pharisees to hunt down Christians. And now God gave him another commission to hunt down Gentiles, you can see, but to bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is his goal. And if you look with me, the verse 18 says, to open their eyes. How are we going to open your eyes? To see your sin. to open their eyes to see their sin. If we had someone, brought a young person here, and had him stand here, he covered his eyes, and we told that young person, you just take that step, and his eyes are covered. Think, you can't see where you're going, he's just going to go and fall off. And if we unveil his eyes, he's not crazy enough to fall off this thing. I mean, little guys might jump off for fun, but an adult, I'm going to twist my ankle. I can see now. Why do I want to go that way? And it's our responsibility to tell them not to go, to help them not to go that way.
Amen.
Because they're going to hell.
Yes, sir.
And we need to tell them about Jesus Christ. Tell them that, that there's a Savior that can take you to heaven. We need to open their eyes.
Amen.
Open their eyes. How are we going to open their eyes? The Word of God. The Holy Spirit will convict them. God said, my word will not return void. That's all we have is the Word of God. And that's what God entrusted to us. He says in Hebrews 4:12, he says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and into the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is powerful. It convicts the soul. It opens our eyes to see ourselves before Almighty God. It's what we are before Him, to open our eyes, to turn us from darkness to light, to turn us from death to life, from sin to holiness, from being blinded to sight, to help us understand that we need a Savior. We need Jesus Christ. And it's to open our eyes from darkness. See, back in Genesis, when Eve was deceived and ate of the fruit, and then gave Adam the fruit, and he sinned. And it says in Romans 5:12, it says, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The Bible also says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man, we're stuck now. We're sinners. What do we do? But it actually gets a little worse. Actually gets a lot worse. It says, for the wages of sin is death. And now we die. And if you turn with me to Revelations, chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. It says, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. That is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. After we die physically, there's a second death for sinners, for people that did not accept Christ. And it's hell. So it gets much worse. Now we're in a state, Lord, what do we do now? We need God now. Because we can't do it on our own. And God is just, he's like, I'm going to send the light. And if you turn with me to John chapter 1. And he sends that light. John chapter 1 verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then it gives testimony of John the Baptist. They're questioning him, are you the Christ? He's like, no, I'm not. And in verse 29, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He came to save us. And in John 3, chapter 16, we come, Nicodemus comes before Jesus Christ, and he's asking questions to him. And in John 3, 16, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It's through Jesus Christ. God said, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You need Jesus Christ. You need him yourself. I was 18 years old when I was saved. I grew up in Costa Rica. I heard the gospel in two different languages my whole life growing up, Spanish and English. I didn't accept Christ till I was 18 years old. I went to church. I have a history, a heritage of preachers in my family. None of that is going to get me to heaven. None of that's going to get me to heaven. I have to accept Jesus Christ myself. I have to believe in him myself. God never says he has grandchildren. God says, he calls us children. God doesn't have grandchildren. It doesn't matter how good your parents are, or how grandparents were. It doesn't matter. You yourself have to make that choice. You yourself have to make that choice. Where you're going to trust in Jesus Christ to escape hell and go and be with him if you believe in Jesus Christ. And that's what we all come to. That's what turning the darkness to light. He's showing us our sin before him. And when it said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, is because God is holy and righteous. We cannot go to heaven because of our sin. We can't get there. It's interesting. Some people think they'll go there after they die because they're good enough. How do you know you'll go there if you die if you can't get to heaven right now? It's only through Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. It's only through his finished work. It's from what he did. We need to tell the world about this. And it's going to be hard. Because we're going to go to someone we don't know. And tell them, and you're going to go to hell. I'm like, what are you telling me that? I'm a good person. You're telling me I'm going to hell? The Bible says that everybody, the whole world, would go there if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. So we're all bound for that place if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. That God loved us so much that he sent him to die for us. Can you believe that? That God in heaven would do that for us? John in Philippians chapter 2, this is just, I just think this is the neatest thing, that it says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and he was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and give him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It boggles my mind that God would create it, bring his Son, he would come down and be in the image of us. It would be like, some, if you guys have a son in here, you'd take your own son and say, son, you got to go save the slugs. I'm going to turn you into a slug, and you go save them. They'll spit on you and beat you up, and they'll crucify you. But I love them. And God loves us so much that God would do that for us. Shouldn't we give our all to him? Shouldn't we give what he gave everything for us? He gave his life. We should consider doing that for him as well. We should give our all for Jesus Christ. Amen. From the darkness to light. And everybody must accept Jesus Christ. And if you turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 said, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that it is the word of faith which we preach, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Esaias saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God." You can only turn back by hearing the word of God. Turn to the Lord. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. How shall they call upon him of whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? Are we sharing the gospel with people? Are we preaching the word to them? Are we giving them the Bible so that they will trust in Jesus Christ? Are we doing our best for God? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? That's a missionary. People are dying, going to hell everywhere. Yes. All over, not just in Costa Rica, but as well in Jasonville. And the surrounding little towns we drove through, small ones, everywhere. And we need to tell them about Jesus Christ. We need to warn them to open their eyes from darkness to light, to show them Jesus Christ. We also got to remember, and from the power of Satan to God. Now, Satan's a big enemy. He's the second most powerful being next to God. And we cannot fight him on our own. There's no way. There's no way. How can we think we could do that? Satan wants to destroy us. Especially once you're saved. He wants to destroy your testimony in front of a lost world that does not know Jesus Christ. That's his goal now. Once you're saved, you put a target on your back. And persecution will come. Don't be afraid. Just trust God. We need to trust in him. Because Apostle Peter said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." We talked about vicious animals here this morning. Anyway, I'm not going there. What I want to get at is that a lion is very vicious. If you ever study about how they eat, they completely destroy a body. They will bust the bones to suck out the marrow. Satan wants to do the same thing to your life. He's not done once he grabs you and strangles you. He's not done yet. He wants to get you. And Satan has many things that he wants to tempt you with. And I've brought an object lesson here, because I just think it's cool. But how many like the fish? Oh, good. How like bass fishing? Oh, yeah. I'm not big on the bobber thing. I can't just sit there. I like bass fishing because you get to reel it in, cast it out. And last time I did go fishing, I went about 2 hours and caught nothing. So I was depressing. But what's this? You guys, I know you back there might as well see it. Spinner, a lure. What do we do with this? Catch fish. It looks like a minnow. This thing spins around to catch the fish's attention. It just looks like a little minnow. But I got three hooks catch on the end of this thing. We want to catch these fish, right? Because we want to fillet and eat it. Because it's good. And Satan takes sin, and he makes sin look so good. But there's three hooks on the end of that. And once you're caught, man, you ever get stuck by these real good? Not only does it have a hook going to stick it, it's got one going the opposite way, so you can't pull it out. It leaves nasty scars when you finally get that out. And that's because God's help. But we praise the Lord that when we do die, and once we're saved, those scars won't be there anymore when we're in heaven. The only reminder we'll ever have is the scars on Jesus Christ, and his hands and his side and his feet. And we praise the Lord for that, because he saved us. But the same thing is that Satan wants us to get sin. Sin does nothing but destroy. Satan wants you to think, oh, like when the Super Bowl was on the other time, like, oh, just skip church, go watch the Super Bowl. Satan wants to tell you that. You go to church Sunday night, or Sunday morning and Wednesday, you can skip one night. Don't listen to those lies. Don't listen to that. You listen to God. And the only way you can clearly hear him is when you're reading this book and you're praying to him. Many of us fall short of that. I do, because I have a sin nature. I'd rather go watch the Super Bowl. Wouldn't you? No. But God helps us, and we need his help. He didn't leave us here just like, okay, now you're saved. Good luck. Okay, thanks, Lord. I got the devil on my back, and his demons bothering me. God didn't leave us there. It's not like we have a baby born and throw him in the wilderness. Who does that? We don't do that. And God didn't do that with us either. He left us things that we could have to help us grow in our walk, and that's the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit convicts us and helps us to grow so that when these lures come by to trap us, we're not going to eat those. We're gonna just let it go by and say, no, I'm going to use the Word of God to help me not to eat that. That's what Jesus Christ used when he was tempted in the desert. He used the Word of God. Now, it's impossible for him to sin, but it's an example for us that we need to use the Word of God to defeat Satan when he tempts us. That's what he used that example for. And we need to obey him from turning us from the power of Satan unto God. And it's only through the Word of God. It says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. We need to memorize Scripture. That's one of the most important things. I like football. And the Lord convicted me about a month or month and a half or so ago about it. Because he's like, Brian, man, you know about 12 starting quarterbacks in the National Football League. Yeah. Do you know the 12 apostles or disciples? I'm thinking, no. you got me there, Lord. There's two I couldn't think of. And I started thinking, football brought me to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all I went there to play was football at that football camp. That's it. I just wanted to play. And it just through that tool, I was saved. But then you start getting convicted. You know, you got to put childish things away and become a man. And you have to just, and we got to memorize the Scriptures. And he convicted me. You need to know more about your Bible, Brian, than you know about football. We memorize what's important to us. And if we get God in our hearts, we'll memorize this better, so we can fight sin, so we can live for him, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. It's all through Jesus Christ. We need to go tell people about the Lord. The Apostle Paul was called to reach the Gentiles. The Lord has told Ashton and I to go reach the Indian tribe. Who has God told you to reach? Who has God told you to reach? And you said no. When God called me to be a missionary about a little over 7 years ago, I first told him no. So I'm not going to do it, Lord. And you know, God entrusts the gospel to us, says in Thessalonians, whom I have entrusted the gospel. If I would have kept saying no, I would have had the blood of a whole Indian tribe on my hands because God told me to reach them. I mean, who has God entrusted you to reach with the gospel? Don't say no. Say, I'll do it. We can't save them anyway. Only God saves them. Only God saves them. As you saw here, the Apostle Paul gave a great testimony to Agrippa. Agrippa said, I almost became a Christian. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Like the great Apostle Paul. And because it's not the Apostle Paul that wins souls, it's God. We need to do our work in telling them. We need to do our work in telling them. And I encourage you guys that not just on the mission field, it's got to happen in Jasonville. And it's got to happen around Indiana. And it's got to happen around the United States. And then throughout the world. We've got to tell them about Jesus Christ. I believe the Lord will be coming soon. There's a lot of events right now that are happening that it's just poor Israel. it's not going to be good. And let's pray and come to the Lord in prayer today. Father, thank you, Lord, for this morning, God. And Father, I ask you to convict people, Lord. Convict souls. Convict them to reach others for you, God. And I pray, Lord, if you spoke to someone and they've told you no, God, to please convict them and help them go reach their neighbor. Help them, Father, to do their best for you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.